Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GHCL Textiles Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call, hosted by Go India Advisors LLP. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Garima Singla from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to everyone attending the GHCL Textiles Quarter 2 Financial Year 2026 earnings conference call. Today on the call, we are joined by Mr. R. S. Chalan, Non-Executive Director, Mr. Raman Chopra, Non-Executive Director, Mr. Marshall Sonawane, CEO, Mr. Parasuraman M., CFO, and Mr. Manu Jain, Senior General Manager, Finance and Accounts. Please note that today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements. Therefore, they must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I now hand over the call to Mr. Marshall for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Garima. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to GHCL Textiles earnings conference call for the second quarter ended 30th September 2025. Our detailed results and investor presentation are available on the stock exchanges and our company website. I will begin with an overview of the operating environment. On the cotton front, domestic prices have slightly eased to around 54,500 per candy mark, primarily due to muted demand and the allowance of duty-free imports. Globally, while the New York futures have seen some reduction, the market remains volatile, driven by the ongoing international trade situation. The new crop sowing is marginally lower, and while a good crop size is expected, the quality will need monitoring given the extended monsoons. Demand for yarn continues to remain muted, a situation similar to quarter one. The uncertainties around U.S. tariffs and an overall drop in other export markets mean that customer offtake is largely limited to urgent short-term needs. While the woven segment held stable, the knitted yarn segment continued to face challenges. We are, however, encouraged by recent developments indicating a near-term and potentially favorable outcome of the U.S.-India trade agreement, which we believe is key to a demand revival. Next, I want to focus on our strategy and its execution. As we reported last quarter, we successfully commissioned our 25,000 spindle unit. I am pleased to share that these new spindles are now operating as per our expectations and contributed significantly to our volume growth. We are on track to achieve a full ramp-up by third quarter of this fiscal year. Now, turning to our performance for the quarter, Quarter 2 FY 2026 reflected significant resilience and strong execution. Revenue stood at rupees 339 crores, a growth of 11% year-on-year. This was driven by our highest-ever quarterly yarn production volume. Our EBITDA grew by 31% year-on-year to rupees 38 crores, and PAT stood at rupees 16 crores. This performance, amidst tough market conditions, highlights our operational discipline and the success of our expansion strategy. Simultaneously, our vertical integration roadmap is advancing well. The expansion of our knitting machines is underway, and we expect phase one of 15 machines to be completed in Q3. This strategy is already yielding results, and our share of revenue from fabric has increased to its highest-ever level at over 11%. Our focus remains firmly on our key strategic priorities: broadening our value-added portfolio, enhancing operational excellence, and strengthening vertical integration. Our commitment to operational excellence is supported by our 62 MW green energy capacity, which meets over 70% of our needs, and we plan to invest in an additional 30 MW to enhance our sustainable footprint. These priorities guide our capital allocation. Our committed investment plan of over 1,000 crores remains firmly on track. We have now deployed approximately rupees 600 crores of this investment, primarily in capacity enhancement and vertical integration. This strategy has already enabled us to double our revenue from FY21 to FY25 and positions us strongly for future growth. Our goal remains to become a premium ready-to-cut fabric manufacturer, targeting a top line of 2,000 crores, a double-digit ROCE, and an EBITDA margin of 15%-18% over the next 3 to 4 years. As we move ahead, GFCL Textiles is well positioned to leverage operational synergies, sustain profitability, and capture emerging global opportunities through disciplined execution. Backed by a strong balance sheet and a highly capable team, we are confident in our growth momentum. Thank you for your continued support. We would now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discover Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. You just had a couple of questions. In terms of your incremental renewable energy, which you're putting up of the 10 megawatts, how much of its cost savings do you expect it to give us, and how much have we spent on it?
Sorry, I was on mute. Hi, Riddhesh.
Hi.
Yeah. So our total 13 megawatt is split across rooftop solar and ground solar. Rooftop solar, we had announced in last quarter, which is under execution now. Put together across both the projects, the total spend will be about 14-15 crores, right? And the total saving, which we will receive, would be about 6-7 crores odd in that. Sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry. Just a clarification. The ground solar is about 35 crores, and rooftop is about 8 crores. About 43-45 crores of spend will be there.
So on roughly 45 crores of spend, you're saying we expect actually cost saving of how much?
The rooftop solar would sort of yield a cost saving about 2-2.5 crores per year, and the ground solar would yield about 5-6 crores per year.
Got it. So you're saying roughly about 7.5-8 crores of savings and roughly 45 crores of the CapEx which we're doing.
Yes. Yes.
Understood, sir. Sir, and the other question was, look, I mean, historically, obviously, our EBITDA margins have been materially higher, and we understand that spreads are low and have been typically low for, I think, a couple of years now. Just wanted to get your own outlook on when you expect the normalization of spreads to happen and the key drivers of that. And I mean, if this entire, I mean, actually, the tariff war is also leading to some amount of squeezing in terms of margin.
Yeah. See, primarily on the overall macro side, right, two key drivers. One is, of course, on the demand side with respect to U.S. and other FTAs which are being done. So the demand has been muted primarily because some of the export markets, including U.S., are going through a turbulent time with respect to tariffs and overall situation in those areas. On that front, at least there are some positive news which are coming up, right? For example, U.K. FTA is about to be notified. Europe and U.S. moving in the right direction. So my view on the demand side, at least by quarter four or maximum by quarter one of next year, we should see some stability coming in. The second part is on the cotton cost. While the cotton cost has come down recently, it is still higher than the global average, right? And depending on how the season goes and whether the costs remain benign, I think that would be a big factor in moving the spreads higher. On our own company side, I think what we have been doing is focusing on our operational excellence, moving our vertical integration, which is primarily a profit maximization approach, which is what we are taking to ensure that we are in a good condition. Hope I answered.
Thank you. That's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saransh Gupta from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to check that you indicated that for the guidance of 1,000 crores over the next 3 to 4 years. So can you help us in understanding how does our value-added product, which is a fabric wool move, which was 8.3% in the last year and 11.4% over the next 3 to 4 years, and in terms of the margin differentiate between the knitted fabrics and the normal yarn business?
So, I think our first thing we need to understand is current fabric is on a job work model, right? Which is what we are trying to do by doing job work is build our demand side, get our demand side correct before we sort of invest in it. That is the approach we have taken, right? So right now it is not a value accretive, I would say. While we are not losing money, it is not adding a lot to our bottom line. When it comes to, let's say, yarn to a fabric, typically, let's say, if our margins on yarn are about 11-12%, the fabric would add, let's say, another 2-5% to that. So we can expect when we are completely vertically integrated, the margins would go up from, let's say, 12% or 15% we consider normal to about 14-17%.
But with our own knitted coming in, definitely our job work will also continue. So over a period of time with 2,000 crores of revenue, can we assume that knitted fabrics will be somewhere in 20s or it will be in teens only?
No, when we are at a 2,000 crore odd number, right, our vertical integration would be almost 50-60%. Hmm. So let's say 40-50% would still be yarn sales. The rest would be coming from fabric sales.
Okay. So we look at probably around 60-40 ratios.
Yes, and yes. And let's say once we have our own machine coming in, we would sort of taper down the job work because job work was primarily done to build volume.
That's true. And so when you come to our quarterly numbers, if you look, the export revenue has increased sequentially from 17 odd crores to 30 odd crores. So, which geographies helped us in building up this revenue?
See, I think we have been in our existing geographies only, and our Bangladesh contributes almost 40-50% to our overall export number, which is the similar thing for India also at an aggregate level. The other geographies which are important for us are Europe, Turkey, which also sort of goes to Europe, and Southeast Asia.
And on the industry level and on the company level, given the build-up of the cotton raw cotton inventory in the system because of the import restrictions or import inflow, how do we see our cotton inventory, and in terms of the costing, how do we see the costing of our cotton over the next couple of quarters?
I think because of the import-free duty cotton was allowed, definitely we used this opportunity to stock up on some of the cheaper imported cotton, right? And now even the prices in the India market are lower, and that's why I think in the next quarter we don't see the cotton prices going high. We believe that the cotton prices would remain similar unless there is a monopoly situation created and let's say a different decision is taken at CCI's end to increase the Indian cotton prices. But if that doesn't happen, which we believe will not happen, the cotton cost will remain similar to what we have right now or slightly would come down.
Can you help us understanding what is the average cotton yarn and the cotton prices during the quarter, and what are they right now?
See, I think at the beginning of the quarter on a per candy basis, it was about 56,000 levels. Now it has come down to about 54,500 levels. So our recent cotton purchases have happened lower. Of course, as the quarter progresses, the older inventory, which was at a higher cost, would get consumed on a FIFO basis.
And in terms of the yarn prices?
See, in terms of yarn prices, of course, at a overall industry level, the prices have come down. But in our case, because we service primarily strategic customers and we are primarily on value-added comps, our prices have remained almost similar to what it was in quarter one.
Yeah, so that's helpful. I have a couple of questions. I'll come back in a queue. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumi from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I just had a few questions. Firstly, despite our spread pressure, margins have been resilient quarter on quarter. So what are some of the operational levers or cost efficiency supporting this stability?
Bhumi, I think quarter on quarter our EBITDA as a percentage has come down, right? While year on year, of course, it has probably increased. But what has helped, let's say, probably the question is that at an H1 level, what has helped is definitely we have been able to maintain our spreads or increase it. On an H1 this year versus last year, the spreads have gone higher. Second thing is the cotton cost, of course, related to spreads only, that cotton cost has slightly come down. Third is this quarter our renewable energy production has been higher as well, right, which definitely helped us control our power cost. These are some of the things. And from a volume standpoint, operationalization of our new 25,000 spindles has increased the volume and hence the absolute number has gone up.
Okay. And so our revenues, which have doubled from 600 crores in FY21 to around 1200 crores in FY25. So how much of this has come from the volume growth versus the better realizations or the value addition?
I don't have an exact number, but our spindleage has definitely gone up between FY21 to 25. I don't have an exact number, but I can tell you that between these 5 years, we probably would have added minimum 80,000 to 90,000 spindles. Maybe some capacity would have also been removed, but primarily this is a volume-driven growth.
Okay. And lastly, our committed capex length of 1,000 crore. So how much of that has been deployed so far and what are the focus areas for us for the remaining investment?
We have deployed almost 600 crores out of the committed 1,000 crores. This year we installed 25,000 spindles unit. Year before last, we did another 40,000 units, right? Kartikai, which we call, right? And we have increased our renewable energy portion. So these are the three areas where we have spent the 600 crores. Going forward, our plan is to move towards our vertical integration journey, spend the remaining 400 crores across knitted fabrics, woven fabrics and processing. And in accordance, there will be a renewable energy addition also, because at an overarching level, we have a vision to maintain 70% of our power coming from renewables.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you.
So, I just have one question. You said the, if my understanding is right, the cotton prices have declined, but your yarn prices have...
There is a disturbance from your side, background noise.
Hello, can you hear me now?
We can hear you, but I think there is still some noise which is coming, but please go ahead.
I just have one question. You just mentioned that the cotton prices have declined quarter on quarter, but the yarn prices have remained stable. So can we expect the spread during the next quarter to improve, which will aid your margins?
I think the spread will depend a lot on how, let's say, the demand situation gets better. At least in the last quarter, most of the orders from our customers were continued, while there were few delays, but no cancellations happened, right? Of course, the thought process across the industry is that the US-India deal will be signed probably by quarter three. If that happens, we can expect some improvement in the spreads also. But if it doesn't, then probably quarter four is when we can see a marked improvement in spreads.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Param Vora from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. First of all, congratulations on great set of numbers. And my question is regarding raw material sourcing. So when we source the raw materials, so the contract is usually long term or is it the spot buying?
We are mostly on spot buying on the Indian cotton side. While we had some very long-standing relations with some of the generals and going up to farmers also, but mostly it is spot buying. In fact, in last two quarters, it has been only CCI which has been selling it. When it comes to international imported cottons, we do take long-term positions on that.
Okay, and with cotton prices, you know, having corrected from peaks, so can we expect the margin expansion since the raw material cost tailwind has been working for you?
See, as I said, I think the earlier discussion also, earlier question, it will all depend on the demand getting revived, right? Right now, it is very, very, very muted and limited to only urgent orders. It can go up higher, as in margin improvement can happen higher only if the demand situation gets better, which we are hopeful that it should happen at least by Q4.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to understand what is our mix of import cotton and local cotton on a steady state basis and how it has changed the last 6 months, if there has been a change.
See, on our imported cotton basis, and in a steady state situation, we probably would be about 40-50% because our value-added counts, which is primarily based on imported counts, is about 50%, right? Recently, it would have been lower because, I'm not saying before the duty-free, as in after the duty removal, because that cotton is still to arrive. Before that, it would be slightly lower because the demand for high value-added counts definitely has tapered down a little bit.
From a yarn point of view and the fabric point of view, what is the EBITDA range at which you are operating now and what do you think can actually move up as you stabilize your 25,000 new spindles and more CapEx that is coming on the fabric side? Mm-hmm.
See, right now, let me just say it very openly, it is not a good time to look at fabric EBITDA because it is on a job work model. Our idea is sort of to build volumes to preempt, preempt volume building before the capacity comes in, right? But I'll tell you what happens, let's say, if capacity is in-house. We expect, let's say, our 4-year, 7-year margins on yarn has been about 14-15%, which we consider a normal state. So our yarn normal state is about 14-15%. If it goes vertically integrated, we can expect this normal state EBITDA to go from 14-15% to 17-18%.
Got it. And what has been the yarn EBITDA for this 6 months?
This 6 months is about 11%.
Got it. And there is a catch-up that is possible to 14-15%, right? Got it.
Yeah, as in catch-up is possible, definitely, but I don't think the catch-up will happen this year because still sort of demand triggers are not in place. And the cotton cost has gotten benign just now, and it is still higher. Let me just state it again. It is still higher than the global average. But we definitely see some triggers. We definitely see this tailwinds falling in place, at least for next year.
And in terms of CapEx, you had mentioned around 135 crores or so at the start of the year. And I think you have done around, what, 45 to 50 now. So do you think that the balance would happen in the second half, or is there has been a recalibration of that?
No, there is no recalibration. I think we have always stated that this spending amount, last quarter, I think we were at about 550 levels, right? And so whatever we have stated last quarter also, that this remaining amount will be spent in 2 to 3 years, we are on track of that.
Got it. I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amay Chheda from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. Just had a couple of questions. What was the revenue contribution from this newly commissioned 25,000 spindles in this quarter?
It was about 30 crores, 30-35 crores. I don't have the breakup ready, but about that number.
So basically, it was at around 50% utilization.
Yes, yes. It hasn't reached the optimal utilization. It is still sort of work in progress.
And you expect it to reach full utilization in Q3?
Yes, yes. It will reach full utilization in Q3.
Okay. And about this, 40 knitting machines that are coming online in the next 2 quarters, so what is the kind of incremental revenue we can expect from this in the next year?
Of the 40 knitting machines, I will talk about the complete project, right, which is yarn and fabric put together. Depending on the selling price, it would be between 275 to 300 crores is what we are expecting.
Okay, so basically this 275 and 300 includes the 25,000 spindles. Is that correct?
Yes, because it will be sold as a fabric completely.
Yeah.
Production will be sold as a fabric.
Okay, got it. And on this incremental 400 crores capex, right, do you plan on taking around 200 crores of debt, or it will be higher?
See, I think that we will see as and when we progress. But I'll tell you our internal lines, right? We currently have a debt to equity of about 0.03 or something like that. At no point of time will cross, let's say, our debt to equity will not cross 1. Most likely it would be much lower.
And last question, what would be our direct and indirect exposure to the U.S.?
Okay, so we don't have any direct exposure to U.S., right? And we definitely would have an indirect exposure. We service some of the larger clients who have exposure to U.S., but definitely we do not have information that where our product gets used, whether it goes to U.S. or not. But what we have seen largely is that we have been able to service the similar customers. Our sales to our strategic customers has remained the same, right? So on an indirect basis also, we do not have a material exposure to US right now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dia from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So you mentioned the 2,000 CR revenue target. So is that for FY26 or next year?
No, the 2,000 crore number, depending on, let's say, how overall macro changes, is a target for between FY28 to FY30 is what we are targeting. We will be able to double our revenue.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Industries Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Namaskar, sir. And thank you for this opportunity. Sir, I hope I'm audible, sir.
Yes, sir. Saket, please continue.
Yes, sir. Sir, 25,000 spindle is the newly added capacity. So I just missed the number. What have been the volume addition from this new capacity for Q2?
Q2, basically, see, in last quarter, our production was about 9,325 tons. This quarter, it is about 11,400 tons. right? And of course, the production in other units also went up. So this largely this difference comes from the new unit itself. The unit can do about 22 tons per day. That's
okay, so we will be running at the optimum capacity for this quarter as a full for this quarter. That is the October, November, December, the third quarter.
Yes, now
where
it has
the contribution will be. Correct.
The complete commercialization is done. In Q3, we will see the full benefit of this unit.
Okay. And sir, when we had the last interaction for quarter one, we were alluding to the fact that the environment, the working environment was not conducive, and we were expecting lower performance, lower financial performance for this quarter. So if you could just explain to us what factors have attributed to the incremental increase in revenue and hence the profitability, and whether the same are going to be, we are going to see the continuity of the same for the remaining part of the year. If anything on that front, ballpark you can give.
See, of course, first thing is our volume has gone up, right? That definitely adds to our incremental revenue. Second is our proportion of fabric revenue has also increased. Third, we have been able to maintain our overall sales price, right? So our average sales price hasn't dropped so much. I think these three factors primarily contributed to higher revenue. We, of course, got a benefit of higher renewable production, which reached about 70% of our overall power requirement, which was about 60% last quarter. These four things, of course, helped us get to the numbers what we delivered.
So these factors are in continuity for this ensuing quarter. Also, we are done with 1 month of operation. So only the factors if you could just align.
On the volume side, of course, the volume will go up this quarter. On the sales price side, it is difficult. As I said, situation can get so. There are two scenarios, right? Of course, if the US deal and other demand side triggers do not happen, then definitely the pressure will continue on the sales price and overall margin, right? And probably in that case, the performance would be very similar to what we delivered in Q2. If, let's say, it happens and it happens in November, probably December, we can get some benefit. And of course, overall sentiment of the market and the order flow would increase. And that probably would help us get better. But it would not be a marked improvement because it's only 1 month of demand side getting better. Quarter four would be a good quarter to look at the overall improvement.
Okay. Sir, on the realization front, how are things shaping up with, I think so you mentioned about the cotton prices also trending in the lower band, and I think so if you could just give some color, what is our inventory pricing currently? And how are the realization shaped on average basis for quarter two and post the exit of quarter two? What have been the dip or the change, if any?
Sakeji, I won't be able to give out our inventory cost per se, but what I can tell you that it is trending downwards as the overall aggregate cotton costs come down, right? So that is what I can sort of tell you. Sorry, I forgot your second question. Could you please repeat?
So my question was on the realization, on the yarn realization, or on a blended basis, what were the realization trend between quarter one and quarter two? And post the exit of the quarter two, how have the trend been for the last 40 days, or last 30 days? So
on a spread basis, this quarter our spreads have marginally come down, or you can say it has remained in line with quarter one. Quarter three, I think it is difficult to say right now because it's only 1 month which has passed. But as I said, right, I'm just coming back to what I told earlier. On the demand side, there are two scenarios. If, let's say, the deal doesn't happen or it gets delayed, then probably we will see similar to quarter two or maybe slightly lower. And if it happens, then probably it will get slightly better.
Okay. So to summarize, we will see the advantage of incremental volume for the newly expanded capacity for Q3 onwards, and also the benefit of mix between the integration will also be in the similar level. These two factors will have a positive impact. They will play out in now the ensuing quarter. This understanding
right.
is correct, sir?
Yes, yes, you are absolutely correct.
Okay, sir. And on the capex front, what are we envisaging to spend on the capex for the second half? Sir? How much will we be spending?
See, on the capex side, are two things we have to complete. One is installation of the 15 weighting machines, which have already been ordered. Then we would be sort of completing the rest 25 knitting machines. At least we are planning that it should be in-house by about March or April. So this is the priority for us in the remaining quarters. Also, installation of the 30 megawatt of solar between rooftop and ground.
Okay, so our closing capital work in progress was at 13 crore. So for the knitting part, the machine installation, how much are we going to spend for X2, sir?
So I think capital work in progress would primarily be the pending things or work in progress from our 25,000 spindle unit. There are still few things which are in completion.
Okay.
After that, this is... overall, I think about we have spent 41 crores this quarter, and a similar number for the rest of the knitting machines. About 20-25 crores is what would be spent for the rest 25 knitting machines.
Right. Thank you, sir. I'll join the queue for the remaining questions, and all the best to the team, sir.
Thank you.
The EBITDA margin path, which you have mentioned in your presentation of 16% to 18%, we need to wait for the trade deal firstly, then we can give a path or an year by which we will be achieving it. That would be that we have to hinge on that factor, because we have mentioned about 16% to 18% is what we will be achieving going right.
So it would be difficult to give it, because as in the overall macro situation isn't very conducive right now. But Sanketji, whatever is controllable at our end, we are doing that, right? When it comes to operational excellence, making sure our capital allocation is correct, moving forward on vertical integration, getting our customer product mix right. I think this is in our control. I think that is what we are doing, but we would need some support on overall macro to make sure that we reach the 16 to 18 crores situation.
16% to 18%, right. Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dipesh from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, now, with stable domestic cotton prices and growing global demand, how are you positioning your product mix to balance the cost pressures and pricing opportunities?
Our product basically is primarily focused on value-added products, right, which are made from your imported cotton going to very premium customers. We try and sort of put our product mix at about 40-50% there. The rest is customized products made from Indian cotton, and the pending is all sort of usual marks, which is primarily to ensure that we run at optimum utilization levels. This mix is our ideal mix currently, because of and I think this situation will depend a lot on overall demand situation as well, but this is where we try to reach in a way.
So now, how are the export orders flowing, shaping up amid ongoing tariffs uncertainties and global demand moderation, and also the India-EU trade or India-UK trade, how would that actually help us with our exports?
From the point of view of exports, at least in this quarter, we did not see exports going higher, right? So I think India exports about 100 million tons a month sort of run rate, right? And that more or less has remained the same. Probably if, let's say, the FTAs do not get signed, then probably the demand would move elsewhere. But as of now, mostly there are no order cancellations in India, at least in our customer set. And that sort of means that most of the customers have continued for now in anticipation of a quick closure on the deal probably by this year. When it comes to UK, definitely that is a plus. And we have seen many of our customers trying to move their end customer base to UK. But that is still a work in progress because even the rules are not notified yet. EU is a good opportunity. The EU overall market is similar to US. While US is more concentrated, EU is more distributed market. That is different. But on a size basis, probably it is similar to US.
Okay. What's your near-term outlook for the global cotton pricing, and how do you see India's competitiveness relative to the peers of Bangladesh and Vietnam?
In terms of global cotton competitiveness, Indian cotton prices, while they have come down, are still at a slight premium to global, right? So when it comes to, let's say, Vietnam, Bangladesh, they, of course, get global cotton from other countries at cheaper prices than India. That puts us at a slight disadvantage when it comes to overall cotton pricing. In India, we see, I think our view is that it will depend a lot on the quality and the crop output. The prices will depend a lot on that, and then whether CCI becomes the monopoly supplier and how they dictate the pricing in the market.
Can you quantify how much is the difference between the pricing which Vietnam and Bangladesh prices?
See, right now, when the duties are removed, the global cotton prices and importing those within India would be similar, but let's say India imports about 12% duty on imported cotton, non-ELS. But in Vietnam, Bangladesh, it would be lower. Definitely, it is lower. I do not have a number that what is their import duty, but definitely it's lower.
So this is for the imported cotton. I'm talking about the cotton which they are getting and we are getting from the Indian market. How much is the difference between that?
No, that is what I said, right? If, let's say, if we buy from India, right, then I'm comparing, let's say, whoever is buying from globally plus their import duty, if I have to buy global plus my import duty compared to my domestic cotton prices.
Okay.
Right?
So your domestic cotton prices are at a premium?
Yes, yes. While the premium has come down, definitely it is still at a premium.
Okay. Okay, and there is no quantification for this. That, you know, how much percent is the premium of the grower for the Indian cotton prices and the global cotton prices?
I do not have that number. See, at 56,000, it was about 12 to 15% premium. Probably it is about 5% or premium, but I do not have my exact number. This is my guesstimate.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I always thought that there is a, you know, when you actually sell your yarn to a particular brand, or the brand actually says that, look, I want a yarn from GSPL, that your margin will, you know, go up. And my interactions earlier show that there's a, you know, you're actually working with some of, working towards expanding this. Can you just help me understand of our yarn output, how much is actually sold in the market and how much is actually sold for the brand, especially the multinational brand?
We are about 30-40% of our total output goes to some of the top brands, right? Now, what you are saying is true in a situation which is not depressed. Right now, the way strategic customer base helps us is to ensure that we have a steady pipeline of orders. And that sort of helps us also to optimize our operations. This is the benefit which we get currently. But let's say in a good market situation, we typically can expect about 1% higher margin by selling to some of these global brands, because they have higher quality requirements, customer specs. So 1 to 2% is what we can expect in a good market situation. Right now, the way it helps us to is to ensure that we have a steady pipeline of orders.
Got it. So now you say that around 60 to 70% is actually sold to agents kind of a model. Do you have visibility in terms of how those agents would actually place your output, or how does it work? Can you just help me understand this?
Please complete your question.
No, I just want to understand that part where you don't have visibility to the end brand. Is this particular supply chain help you to ensure that the supplies are actually, your output is actually get to the market, therefore your utilization is there? Just want to understand that particular part where around 65-70% of your product directly goes to the agents and they actually place your product to the end brand. Do you have any visibility of those brands' demands, or you actually leave it to the agents to actually figure it out?
See, let me delineate the customer profiles, right? So when we say 30-40% goes to brands, this is where we either have nominations or very long-term relationships. Our products are customized for this particular category of customers. The rest of the product is let's say, a standard product wherein we sell directly to brands also and through agents as well. Right, let's say most of the export business for us operates through agents, and in India also some of the accounts are done through agents only. But it does not mean that the agent controls customer or communication or relationship with the customer. We do control it. We know exactly what they need. It is more like a situation where our team works directly with customer's team to develop products, ensure our product is meeting the specs and everything. So it is not a situation where we don't know who the end customer is. We practically know where it is going. In less than 90% of the cases, we know who is the end customer, what do they need. That information flow is very open, transparent. And because this relationship has developed over a period of time and stayed for a much longer time, we definitely know what is their order profile, order cycles, where are they ultimately serving to, right? And all those things helps us in optimizing our operations. In a good situation, we typically would have a 70-80% forward booking, which probably would have dropped to about 30-40%, 50% right now.
Got it. And as we expand our capacity in yarn as well as fabric, what kind of visibility you would actually have, or it works that, okay, only if you have capacity, you will actually get visibility?
No, it is not the case, right? As in, we have been operating on a job work model, right? And we have been able to build a certain amount of volume. So it is not the case that only if you have a fabric capacity, you can service. Of course, you won't get the margins which you would aspire to get, right, in a job work model. Because you would have too many intermediaries in between and you have to manage multiple things. So I think that is not true that only if capacity is in-house, you can do it. But the way capacity helps you is that a larger brand or a prominent customer would want a higher control over their value chain, and hence internal capacity is required. So as we sort of build internal capacity, we would of course go to the same category of customers where we are selling our yarn, and our customer profile would get better and margins would get better.
Thank you for detailed explanation.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Danki from Ratnatrai Investment Management LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks and congratulations for the good set of numbers. So my questions on the ROIC or the ROCE, despite we having the margins similar to our peers, 11% EBITDA, 5% net margins, our ROCE is very low. So is it because of the accounting done at the time of demerger, or how we look at it once our CapEx forward, you know, integration is done, how we look forward to the ROIC?
See, on a ROCE basis, there are two things, right? One, of course, our normal margins in yarn business is typically around 14-15%. And while, as in the data is not public because company had demerged in 22, but internally I can tell you that our 5-year, 7-year margins have been around 15% only. Right? That is point number one. And once we get back to this normal situations, our ROCE will get better. Second part is definitely we have been doing CAPEX every year. So as in every year, we have been spending almost about 100 crores on CAPEX, on capacity enhancement, modernization and everything, right? That basically our gross block continues to improve, increase in a way. The third thing is this is something which is depressing ROCE, or I would say it has not increased, that's why. The other thing which is more controllable on our end, right, which will help this ROCE enhancement, one definitely is our vertical integration, which will help. Second, operational excellence. And the third is getting to more and more value-added portfolios. So on a standalone yarn itself, the margins would get better.
Okay. So what kind of ROIC we are looking at the new capex, you know, 1,000 crore, 1,100 crore capex, which we are doing till 2028. What kind of internal target we have on those capex?
See, our internal milestone is to get to a double-digit ROCE within next 2 to 3 years. I think that is what I can tell you. And we are sort of, all our capital allocation is towards that only.
Okay, good. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rati from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding the margin profile we can expect over the next few quarters. Sir, with this knitting business coming online and it's currently a low margin business due to the job work nature, sir, so when can we expect to reach the 3-5% incremental margin on this segment on an overall basis?
See, for the next few quarters, right, like let's say quarter 3, the situation will be very similar to what it is in quarter 2. Quarter 4, of course, depending on, and most likely the demand triggers would fall in place, we can see an improvement from quarter 4 onwards. As I said, our normal state EBITDA for our yarn business is about 14-15%. If, let's say, the demand side triggers fall in place and the cotton cost remains benign, we probably will be at that level maybe in next 1 or 2 years for sure. On vertical integration side, till the time we have on a job work model, we cannot expect the EBITDA to become accretive in a way, right, to a significant extent. But we are planning for our knitted fabric facility to be in-house by about March or April maximum. For the next year, we can expect this complete unit, which is the 25,000 spindles plus 40 knitting machines, to start generating about 14-15% EBITDA in similar sort of situation. If, let's say, the demand triggers fall in place, definitely it will be slightly higher.
Got it. So the majority should flow in next year. And sir, for if I see on a quarter-on-quarter basis, our gross margins have declined, and majority the margin that we have maintained is because of the power cost. So can we expect a further margin decline over the next 2 quarters with the knitting facility coming in? And you said that the spreads will be dependent on demand. So demand seems to be muted. So can we expect a slight dip in our margin over the next 2 quarters?
See, I think on a gross margin, it will depend a lot on the product we make, right? So let's say if we go coarser or finer, right, it will depend a lot on the product mix also. I think we should look more at an EBITDA level for textiles, GHCL textiles. I think EBITDA would be a good metric, because gross margin will depend a lot on the product we make, our sort of utilization numbers and everything.
Got it. So on overall year, can we expect to maintain the 11% EBITDA margin for FY26?
Yes, I think we would be able to deliver 11% there.
Got it. So just a final question from mine. So the 400 crore CapEx that will be doing towards the fabrics division, so can we expect it to generate 800 crore of, is that a fair assumption?
The fabric alone, as in, of course, fabric would add a part of it, but also some of our units achieving, let's say, full utilization, plus change in the product mix, which will increase our average cost. I think these three things put together would take us to about 2,000 crores.
Got it. Sir, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, Prashant, you are audible.
So my first question is, if you see the presentation on slide 10, you have indicated a capex of 1,000 odd crores, and in the call also you have mentioned that your turnover will increase by 1,000 crores. So can we? So are we assuming that the asset turn is going to be max one, or is there a possibility of having asset turn more than one going forward?
I think the asset turn would be higher than one, because typically in spinning it is 1:1, but once you get into vertical integration, it improves to about 1.1, 1.2.
Okay, so I mean, over a longer period, we can assume that it will trend more towards 1.2 kind of, that is the ambition.
No, typically industry-wide also, if let's say it is a vertically integrated setup up to fabrics, the asset turn would be better. And we definitely, once we sort of get our vertical integration completed, the asset turns would get better to about 1.2 is what we can expect.
Okay. And the next question is on the slide 5, where you have given the sales volume and revenue. So on a YOY basis, we can see that the knitted fabric and grey fabric, the volumes have jumped up handsomely, but the revenue has been kind of muted. So is it that there has been a significant price erosion, and we have preferred to take the price erosion to maintain the volumes?
See, on this fabric side, right, it is on the job work model only, right? So definitely, we won't be able to get the prices which we would have got if the capacity is in-house, or whether if we control it completely. So, and again, this is, I request that the fabric has to be seen as something which is in transition, where we are first building the volumes, getting our sort of volume and customers ready, and then bring it in-house. I think the volume fabric business has to be seen once the capacity is in-house.
Okay. But, okay, fair enough. But on an overall basis and industry-wide, this knitted fabric, how has been the, you know, the trend in terms of prices? Has it been stable, or have the prices overall, on an overall basis, come down due to competition? Aligned to that is, because China is facing duty from US, there have been reports that the Chinese are dumping the products all around. Has that made an effect on our product pricing and our strategy?
See, the fabric prices will move in line with the yarn prices, right? And at our industry level, if the yarn prices become softer, which has been the phenomena across the industry, the knitted fabric, even the woven fabric, will move in that direction only. So yes, there is some softness in the fabric sales price, but we are very small compared to the overall knitted fabric industry in India. So it hasn't affected us that much. But yes, I think part of your reasoning is correct, that the prices have become softer.
Okay, and so basically the China effect has no kind of a measurable or a significant effect on our price?
As of now, no.
Okay. And just lastly, in terms of overall, I mean, once the renewable energy goes up as per our plan, How much impact would you expect that on our margins, EBITDA margins?
Hey, I think the renewable power, I earlier told is that we are putting up almost 45 crores of capex for this rooftop solar and ground solar. The benefit is about 6 to 7 crores is what we can say.
Per year. Okay. That's all from my side. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the Jalan sir for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Sorry. Thank you very much. I think Marcel has very well addressed all the relevant questions raised by our investors. And I think let me just try to summarize 3-4 things. First and foremost, our growth journey. As you have envisaged in the earlier periods, if you look at the past 2021 to 2025, we have grown by 2 times. And the similar kind of vision we keep for going forward in next 3 to 5 years time. That's number one. Second, this growth journey will continue quarter by quarter. See, like just Marcel said, that out of our new capacity of 25,000 spindles, we have only achieved the 50% in the last quarter, which is June 25. The balance 50% will come into the third quarter. That's number one. Second, our investment into the solar will get added to the in going forward. And subsequently, we are looking at another 25 machines on the knitting that will also get added into that. Overall, our journey of doubling the turnover will continue on one side. And second is that vertical integration journey will continue. There are 3-4 priorities in our mind which are very clear. There are certain things which are not in our control, but there are certain things which are in our control. One is the cost competitiveness. We are significantly making our efforts towards the capital deployment in a manner so that we get a better ROC and better result on the numbers. Like Marcel very rightly said, our vision is that the vertical integration, once this completed from knitting, weaving, and the ready-to-cut fabric for that processing, our margin will go up around 4 to 5% over and above the margin of this spinning. The second is volume increase, which some of our investors are asking about. The double turnover where you have only talking about 1,000 crore ratio versus 1:1. No. You see, out of this 1,000 crores, we have already invested 600 crores. The balance investment is likely to be only 400 crores going forward. And that will lead to the kind of a number which we have just spoken. So that's number one. Second, like Marcel very rightly said, our margin has been historically 14 to 15%, and that will go to around 18 to 19%. So three things we will always keep in mind. One is the vertical integrations. The journey will continue on that. Second, our investment into the cost competitiveness, like one is the energy and other modernization so that our other costs also get addressed. And the third is our strategic supply to the premium customers or the value added along with the strategic customer. Just to highlight, our overall total volume, which we have seen in this quarter, out of the 33% of that goes only to the 10 customers. And Marcel has rightly said, out of that, some of them are the nominated customer we have. So this ultimately goes to the higher brands, and there we get a better realization and more of a reliable supply chain for them as well as for us. And that's the reason you see in this turbulent time of last 2 years, we have been able to utilize our capacity fully, including the new capacity which we have just added. It. Once we ramp up, we will be able to utilize fully. Overall, we are on the right track. We will be able to achieve the number which we have envisaged for ourselves, and very confident of having a double digit of ROC in this entire business. Thank you for the support of all of you, and we'll continue to grow our journey.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of GHCL Textiles, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.